Good morning. And that was Reckless Love by Corey Asbury, right? Was that right?
I think it's
theirs. Oh, it's theirs now? I just wanted to be like James always announces that he knows the song, and I knew that one, so I was proud of myself. But what I forget to remember is you also picked the song, so you would know which song that Sandy is playing. Oh, really? Oh, wow. I was surprised by that. Good. All right, we are not in the book of Mark anymore. We made it all the way through. That took forever, but we brought honor and glory to God going through the whole book, and I'm glad that we did it, but I'm glad that we're not in it anymore. It's because I'm anymore because I'm ready for some new, a new word from God. So it took me a minute. I was going to preach out of 1 Peter, and I was reading 1 Peter, and I was like, man, this is it. This is really good. I'm glad that we're going to study 1 Peter. I think it's only 5 chapters. And then something happened, and I decided not to preach through 1 Peter. I don't know really how to explain that, but I'm going to preach through a series called Romans Road. And if any of you have been saved for very long or have been in Baptist churches, you probably heard of Romans Road. And Romans Road is an evangelism method that you would use to share to a lost person in hopes that they would hear the gospel and receive it and be saved. And we are going to go through the Romans Road for the next 4 weeks. This week, we're going to talk about how we are all sinners, as Mr. Dave said in his prayer. Next week, we're going to discuss that there are consequences to our sin. The Dinner on the Grounds week, we will discuss that Jesus died for sinners like us. And the next week, we will respond, we will respond with faith and confession as we have assurance of our own salvation. So this is Romans Road. And before I get into this too much, yes, Wednesday nights, where's Mark? Wednesday nights, we are having our new Bible study, I don't know what you call it, celebration, let's call it, all summer long from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. We will have a meal from 6:30, a free meal for whoever shows up. Hopefully we have enough food. 6:30 to 7, we will eat, and then from 7 to 8, we will gather together, man, women, children, all together. It could be chaos. We don't know. If you want to see if it's going to be chaos, you better show up. There will probably be kids running around, but it'll be fine. Don't run around. I'll put you in timeout. I'm just kidding. It'll be good. I think it'll be good for us to hear the prayers of each other, young and old, and it'll definitely be good to share a meal together. So the meal is all set, so you don't have to bring anything. As we go on and traction builds, maybe we'll have to add some food or something, but just show up this week and we'll see how it goes. So for anyone who doesn't know what Romans Road is, which I just explained it a little bit, Romans Road is an evangelism method that is used to explain the process of salvation to a lost person. And I'm going to spend the next 4 weeks explaining this, and there's a twofold purpose in these messages. Purpose number one is that lost people in this church and online will hear an expanded and thoughtful explanation of repentance and salvation. And the second person or purpose is that saved people will have a concrete evangelism method that they can use outside of this church to explain the process of salvation to their friends and family. So we need to keep these four things on our minds throughout this series at all times. You can hold up your fingers if you want. One, we are sinful, all of us. Two, our sin has consequences. Three, and this is the good news, Jesus died for sinners like us. And four, when we respond in faith and confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior, we have been saved. While we're traveling through this Romans Road over the next 4 weeks, we will envision that there are two people in a car traveling the Romans Road. And if you come to Wednesday nights here recently, we use a bit of alliteration. I've decided to join in on our new tradition. In the car, we have our driver. His name is Lost Larry. Okay? He is driving the car. His passenger's name is Saved Sam. Okay? As Lost Larry and Saved Sam travel this Romans Road, they're going to run up on 5 important road signs. Now, I've kind of narrowed it down to 4 because I want to get through this in 4 weeks because I'm going to Utah and I won't be here the 5th week, so we're going to have to combine something. But there are 5 key road signs along this Romans Road. Road sign number 1, we must acknowledge our sin. Romans 3:23 says that as believers, we recognize that all people have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. Roadside number two says we must understand the consequences of our sin. And Romans 6:23 outlines that. As believers, we understand that the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Road sign number three, we must know of God's love and provision. Romans 5:8, as believers, we understand that God showed His love for us by sending Christ Jesus who died for our sins. Road sign number four, we must respond with confession and faith. Romans 10:9 says, when we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And road sign number five is that we have assurance of our salvation. And this is outlined in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. As believers, we have assurance of our salvation. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We also have assurance of our salvation when we consider Romans 8:1. For now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, let's get to Sarah. What are their names again? Lost Larry and Saved Sam. Today on their road trip, Sam and Larry will be taking their first exit, which is the acknowledgement of sin. Now, I've been on some pretty awesome road trips. A couple years ago, a friend of mine, his name is Will, not Cobb, his name is Will Purdom. We were supposed to go on a mission trip to somewhere, Fort Collins, Colorado. Our old church said, hey, we've got a kind of a partnership with this place in Fort Collins, Colorado. Does anybody want to go and help paint walls and do stuff? They're planting a church there. And me and Will said, we'll go. And apparently we weren't good enough volunteers because they canceled the trip because we were the only people that volunteered. They probably knew we were going to go goof off and probably not get very much done. So they canceled the trip, but me and Will had already taken time off of work. So I looked at him and said, hey, Will, what are we going to do now? And he said, I don't know, let's do something. So we hopped in my Jeep. I had a Jeep at the time. And we drove to Yellowstone Park. And we knew that our destination was Yellowstone Park, but we didn't really know where our other stops would be. We just knew that we wanted to go to Yellowstone. So we hopped in the Jeep and we slept outside for four nights until I realized that there were grizzly bears all around us. And I said, I'm done with this. And we went to the Super 8. The only room available was a Super 8 in Jackson Hole, and a single bed in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Super 8 was $350, and we had to share a bed. Other than that, it was a great road trip, and we saw a lot of good stuff. But Larry and Sam are going on this road trip along the Romans Road, and they have two potential destinations, eternal joy in heaven or eternal suffering in hell, and the same is true for us in our lives. So along this Romans Road, Lost Larry and Saved Sam make their first stop at their first exit. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. What does this mean? This means that we are all born into a sinful state. Since Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3, everyone has been born into sin, and this is what we call original sin. We are all sinners. Lost Larry is a sinner. Saved Sam is a sinner. But the difference between Larry and Sam is that Sam has been saved by the grace of God. If Larry and Sam are both equal in their sinfulness, why is Larry lost and Sam saved? This is getting a little tongue twisty up here. How do we know that Sam is saved? Well, Sam has already traveled this Romans road. Sam understands that everyone is sinful. He understands that there are consequences for his sin. He understands that Jesus died on the cross for his salvation. He understands that by confessing the gospel in faith, that he is saved because of his faith. And Sam understands that he has assurance in his salvation because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Sam believes what is taught along the Romans road. Therefore, Sam is saved. Now, how did Sam get to this point in his life? How did faith ignite in saved Sam? Well, the first thing that happened was that Sam began to understand his own condition. He began to understand that he was against God because of his sinfulness. But Larry is just driving. He's cruising. He's traveling through life, blissfully unaware that he is a sinner. He's unaware that he's a sinner in need of a Savior. He's on a comfortable, relatively effortless, and sometimes exciting ride straight towards hell. The problem is Larry is currently so blind that he doesn't even see it. If your name is Larry, I'm not picking on you. It just goes with Lost Larry, okay? Don't email me. Or you can. Have you ever heard the saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions? Larry's road to hell was paved with his indifference. Larry really only cares about Larry. He was chasing all of his own passions and desires. He was chasing work success, he's chasing money, and Larry is also chasing women in this story. Larry is chasing all the things that only bring temporary happiness. Not that you women can't bring us long-lasting joy. I know you can, okay? But the good news for Larry is that he's on a God-ordained road trip with his friend Sam, and Larry is getting ready to be confronted with his sinful condition for the very first time. You see, when Larry and Sam pulled off to the side of the road, Larry parked on a bed of nails underneath the road sign, okay? I keep doing that today. And he popped all four of his tires. Larry just bought these four new tires for the road trip, and they were $250 each. So that's $1,000 that Larry has lost. Lost Larry has lost $1,000. If Brad Rogers was here, is he not here? He would have done the math for us out loud. He's our local mathematician, even when the math's not hard. Also, not only that, they only had one spare tire. All of y'all probably only have one spare tire. They also only had one spare tire, so they had to call a tow truck. Okay, this tow truck cost $500. So Larry has now lost $1,500. Remember, one of Larry's biggest idols was his money. So Larry was cussing and fussing at this point about his loss of his $1,500. And Sam, not knowing exactly what to say during Larry's meltdown, turned to him and said, "God is in control." Well, this made Larry mad. If God is in control, why did he have me run over a bed of nails, pop all four of my tires that cost me $1,000? If God is in control, why are we sitting underneath this stupid road sign that says Romans 3:23 on it? What the heck does Romans 3:23 even mean? And Sam knew the road map because Sam had already traveled the way. He didn't even have to look up the direction. Sam said, "For all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard." Save Sam went on to say to Lost Larry, "God is in control. Maybe God has us right here so that you would be confronted with your sin for the very first time. Look how angry you are, Larry. You have lost control because you have just lost $1,500. And Larry says, "Yeah, Sam, but you don't realize how hard I work to make this money, to get all these nice things I have. And you know we're going to go meet up with my newest girlfriend, Crazy Katie, after this." I don't think Katie Noonan's here today, so that's good. Save Sam looks over at Lost Larry and says, "Larry, you're living for all the wrong things. You're chasing personal success so that you can get rich or at least be very comfortable. You're on your third girlfriend in 8 months. Her name ain't Crazy Katie for nothing. Okay? She's a little crazy. I don't think you two are going to make it very far. You're living for the wrong things. God is in control, and He has a greater plan for your life than your chasing of success and money and girls. God's desire for your life is for you to live your life for Him." And Larry looked up slowly to Sam with more peace than he's ever felt, and he said to Sam, "You know what? You might be right. I keep chasing success. I keep chasing money. I keep chasing women, and none of these things are bringing me any lasting joy. That new promotion I got only gives me more responsibilities and less time to live my life. And you were right about Katie. She is a little crazy. I've never thought about being a sinner, but you're right, Sam. Something does feel off about me. It's like I'm disconnected from a power source or something. It's like I'm running on empty." And for the first time in his life, Larry is confronted with his own personal sinfulness. Larry and Sam turn around and the tow truck pulls up behind them. And the driver gets out, big guy, and he says, "Hey fellas, my name is Billy Believer. Let's load this car up and I'll take y'all into town." Next week, we're going to hear about how Billy Believer and Save Sam explain the consequences of sin to lost Larry. I've got more. That story's just over, though. It's easy for us as people who are at church every Sunday to hear the word sin and understand what it means. But some of us here might not fully understand what sin means or what sin is. Sin is any action or activity or thought process that does not bring glory to God the Father. So a lost person is not sitting around considering that they're offending God by their activities, because they're just not considering God in the first place. So a lost person is not going to naturally think, you know, I am a sinner, because a sin is an offense against God. But we as believers believe that if you're living apart from God, you're living in sin. So sin is as church people that are here all the time, we hear the word sin all the time, but the world does not hear that word. So sin is anything in your life that is displeasing to God. It could be your language. It could be a relationship that you're in. It could be laziness or gossip or slander or drunkenness or lust or envy or indifference or apathy. These are all sins, and this list could go on all day long. The bad news for us today is that we are all sinners. Everybody in here. Everybody. We're all sinners. Just as Romans 3:23 says, we are all sinful and fall short of God's glorious standard. When we sin, we suffer the consequences of our sin. So if my sin is laziness, which I have more sins than just that one, but for example, if my sin is laziness, the consequence of this sin is that I'm never going to accomplish much of anything. People aren't going to call me to do anything because they know I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to help anyone with anything because I'm too ornery. That's the consequence of my laziness, okay? Every one of us is born a sinner. None of us are innocent, and apart from our faith in Jesus Christ, we are all bound for hell. And that's why the gospel is the good news. Everyone who is born deserves hell because of their rebellion against God. But God poured out His grace for us on the cross, and He's given us new life that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So our main verse today is Romans 3:23, but I want to read around that verse just a little bit. Romans 3, chapter 3, verses 21 through 28. But now, God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for our sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just, and He makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. So this means that our good works do not save us. We can live our lives giving away all of our money and all of our charity and serving people, but without faith in Jesus Christ, we are just as condemned as the next person. Faith in Jesus is the only thing that saves. And this is the entire theme of the Bible. If you've never read the whole Bible, I encourage you to do so, but I will save you some time this morning and I'll summarize a major theme of the Bible for you. You, meaning everyone in this room, is a sinner in need of a Savior. And that includes me, okay? I'm looking at you all, but I'm talking to me. I like to talk to me first. I am a sinner, and you all are sinners, and we all need a Savior. And apart from Christ, there's no good ending to your story. Jesus came to this earth and lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose from the dead for the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation of your soul. And it's through faith in Jesus that you will receive eternal life and the Holy Spirit. And we know that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And I know many of you saved people probably you probably overwhelmingly have some of those, and then others you're like, oh, well, I don't know about that. But when we are saved, we have the Holy Spirit in us and we have this fruit in our lives. And to come to this saving faith in Jesus, we must understand, one, we are sinful. Two, our sin has consequences. Three, God is so loving that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and for our salvation. And four, when we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe it in our hearts, we have been saved. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And Jesus Himself said that He is the only way to the Father. In John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. We all know, or many of us, most of us probably know John 3:16, but we rarely tend to go past 3:16 when we talk about John 3:16. I want to read to verse 21. John 3:16-21. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him. But anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. As we close this morning, I want you all to consider these questions. And I want you to consider these questions over the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, however long we do this. Where do you stand in this story of truth? Are you standing in the light or are you hiding in the dark? Are you scared to believe that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? And there's no reason to fear letting go of yourself and letting God transform you. We've seen here this morning that our friend Larry is lost, but Larry is in the process of being saved. For the next few weeks, I beg you to ponder your own salvation. Even if you've been coming to a church, this church or any church, for the last 30 years, I want you for the next 4 weeks, starting today, to ponder your own salvation. Are you a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, or are you chasing the things of this world? Have you recognized yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior? Do you understand that there are consequences to your sin? Do you understand that there is only one unforgivable sin? Your sin of unbelief is the only unforgivable sin. You must have faith in Jesus to receive eternal life. And if you desire to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the very first time, I invite you to come forward here this morning and say, that's me. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I've been walking my life in my own way for however long, and I want that to change. And I believe Jesus is speaking to me in this moment through this message, and I want to follow Jesus with my life. And I don't have all the answers. I don't know what that means, but I want you and all these people to teach me more about that. And I will commit to this life, this new life, this born-again life with Jesus. If that's you, you don't even have to come forward. You can stand up in your seat and yell it out loud. We don't have to be timid here. Just tell us all and we'll celebrate it. I will. I don't know about everybody else, but I'll celebrate it. You don't have to come forward. Just scream it at your seat if you want. I don't care how you do it. I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ and no one else. And I'm ready to turn from my sin and turn towards the light of Christ. This all happened to me probably 10 years ago, and I didn't have all the answers back then. I just knew that my life was, I just finally felt that I was lost. It finally hit me, At 26 or 27, I felt as lost as could be. And you all have heard it 100 times. I had a good life. I still have a good life. I had healthy kids and a healthy wife and all that. But I was just lost. And somebody came along and shared the gospel with me in the similar way as this. And I believed it for the first time. And my life has been different ever since. And I'm up here preaching once a week, which is not easy to do. And before I forget to do it, I want to give kudos to these girls that came up here to sing. I meant to do it before I started preaching. But it's hard to get up here and hear your own voice in this microphone. And it's hard to get up. I used to play guitar and I could never strum and sing at the same time. I could barely even bend over and tie my own shoes. So, Pollyanna, you've only been playing guitar for a short little bit, haven't you? Pretty impressive that you can do that already. So I like to see this bold faith lived out in new ways. People, I'm sure nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I want to get up in front of a bunch of people and sing and preach. You know, it's not easy to do. But when God changes our lives and we live for Him, we do what glorifies Him rather than what brings comfort to ourselves. So if your response this morning is that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ and no one else, you say to yourself, I'm ready to turn from myself and turn towards God. We will celebrate that today, and we will baptize you. We won't baptize you today, so we don't have any water right now. But we can meet and talk about you being baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ. And you can leave this place today and live your life for Christ until your death, where you will meet Him in glory. Otherwise, there's no happy ending for your story. You might think there is, but there is not. If you read that Bible, there's only two endings, faith in Jesus or lack of faith and condemnation. So if it's you this morning and you have confessed in your heart, go ahead and confess it with your mouth and say, I believe this message. I believe that I am sinful. I know that I have sin in my life. I know that I'm in the dark and I want to walk with Jesus. If that's you this morning, come forward and we'll celebrate that. And I want to pray as we close here. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the Romans Road. And thank you for the bold faith of people here to celebrate you week in and week out and to live for you day in and day out in their personal lives and to make your name known among a culture where your name is being forgotten, unfortunately. We see that Christianity is not popular. We might like to pretend like we're a Christian country, but our country needs Jesus. Our world definitely needs Jesus. The United States, there are believers here, but there's many countries where there are 0 believers, 0% Christians. And we are the people, if we have faith, we are the people that are supposed to go and tell these people about you. So let that start here in Boone County and let that start in our workplaces, that we would glorify you with our words and our actions and our prayers to our coworkers and our sharing of our faith to our people. Even if they persecute us, make fun of us, or laugh at us for being Jesus followers, you tell us that we will be rewarded for doing that work. So I'm grateful that you gave us your word that makes it so clear what we're supposed to do with our lives. And Lord, I pray that if there's any lost people here in this church or in this community, that they would make themselves known to us and make it known to us that they want to follow you. Maybe for the first time. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.